This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people.
In this episode, Crystal and I share our favorite time management strategies to help you get more done in less time, so you have more time to enjoy your hobbies and family and friends. Enjoy this episode.
Hi there and welcome back. It's Christo here and we also have...
Francisca. Hey, welcome back.
The lovely Francisca.
Of course.
Of course. Francisca.
What are we doing today?
So today we're talking about time management. We get a lot of questions around time management and, I'm getting busier. It seems like one of the biggest enemies for us is there's no shortage of information when it comes to marketing and fantastic strategies to grow a business. However, the enemy a lot of the time, is helping people to find the time to implement the things and to implement the changes, to implement the strategies. There's so many times where we'll have, you know, amazing strategies to show people, and I believe that the information is there. It's tried and tested, all of these strategies, but it's just people going, you know, coming up against, it might be family, it might be hobbies, it might be just having too much to do, working in their own business.
Yeah, and you know, remember we recently did a survey a few months ago where we asked a whole bunch of people, about maybe 10,000 people, what some of their biggest challenges were in business as a business owner. So all these people that we interviewed were business owners. And number one was understanding how to grow a business, so marketing. And the number two challenge, so the second biggest challenge, was overwhelm and time management and not having enough hours in the day and just working too much for too little. And so this episode today is kicking off the second month of the year, February, where we talk about different strategies to manage time effectively. And what we thought we would do is give you our favorite time management tips and tricks, Christo and mine, and just checking in on seeing what you do. Maybe do you want to start with one of your time management tools or resources that you use?
Yes, absolutely. So time management strategies that we'll use, we're going to do an episode which will share the tools coming up later in February, so in episode 8. This being episode 5 of the series, today we're going to share the approach to time management. So I'll share some of our strategies around that, but keep an eye on for that episode 8 because that'll lead in this whole month, basically, all these episodes from episode 5 through to 8. Are going to be all around the time management and so on. So first of all, one thing I was just doing recently with a team member as well, which is a really cool strategy. We'll rattle off a whole bunch of different tips that you can implement hopefully right away, is start the week from the middle. So what I mean by that is when you start your week, if you are scheduling things into any week, schedule them in the middle. So I've been recently doing this with a couple of team members as well, where they'll have calls with our members that we work with ongoing to help them with their businesses, hold them accountable and kind of crack the whip and keep things moving. And basically I'd look at their calendars, and if you've got, say, a meeting every single day in the afternoon, what will tend to happen is you'll think about that meeting all day because you've got that one meeting coming up, or you might have meetings scattered throughout every day. And the time between the meetings is spent kind of preparing. It's not very effective. So what we'll do is, for these team members, we just block two times throughout the week where they block those meetings out, where they just schedule those meetings. A good way to think of it for yourself is you might just start from what I mean by the middle is, if you've got meetings to book in, you book them in for the Wednesday first. And then what you do is, as the Wednesday starts to fill up, or if you need a second option, you might add on the Tuesday or you add on the Thursday. And then once one of those days is full, if it was the Thursday that you took as the next option, well, when it starts to fill up, or if you need an extra day, then you move to the Tuesday. So you're keeping the Friday and the Monday clear, basically, so that those days can be spent on, you know, with a clear mind, working on proactive new marketing things. So you basically are blocking out those set times for meetings.
I might add one actually that I do here, which is sort of a similar but different. Same, same, but different.
Same, same, but different.
Where, yeah, exactly. Where you But if you understand how you work, how your body clock also works, you know, some people are more morning people, so they get up and they're full powered, straight up, to ready to get important work done pretty much an hour or two after waking up. And then the other people are more evening or afternoon people, where they do their most of their thinking and strategic work in the afternoon. So understanding that and knowing when you can do your best work, you can plan your day around that. So for me personally, I know that I can do most of my sort of thinking work, strategic work, the most difficult work in the morning, because I'm a morning person. And so one of the rules that I have, and that my whole team knows, is that they are not booking me in for any meetings before noon. So before noon, I don't generally, unless, you know, it's something really urgent, I don't have meetings, because I use that time to get stuff done, to think, to write, to create stuff that uses my brain in a sort of a more powered way. So that's one of my little tips that I use that work really well for me.
It's really, really good. I do similar. So just to reinforce what you're saying there, clarify, book the meetings outside of the productive times.
Well, it's a choice. I prefer, it depends on the meeting too. Most of my meetings I book outside of my sort of brain powered time, because a lot of meetings I can be just a normal person. I don't have to be superhuman. However,
you can be asleep.
So that I'm asleep, but you know what I mean. But then if I have a meeting, for example, we do VIP strategy workshops with clients where my brain needs to be so crazily powered up that I do them in the morning often, because it's the type of meeting where I need to be super crazy sharp. For team meetings and sort of, you know, a lot of the meetings that are just a little bit of blah, 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 they are fine in the afternoon. So it really is a choice.
I see it a lot too with the people as we work with them. As people's businesses grow, we pile them with different marketing strategies, and it forces the business, like everything we're doing. Say for a Clever Bunch member, it's helping them grow their business. And then as the business grows, their time becomes more scarce. So then they're like, oh, what do I do? You know, how do I find time to do this stuff? And then we'll look at exactly as Franziska said, like, when are you most productive? And typically what I like to say to people is first thing in the morning, before you clutter your mind with everything else.
But that's not true for everyone, because I know people that are super slow in the morning. There are like people that are just, they wake up and they're grumpy for 5 hours and they can't think for 5 hours until they had 5 coffees. So I think you just need to listen to your own body clock. Now, another one that I use, I might just share another one straight up because I'm feeling very generous, is sprints. And I'm sure you've heard of these before, how I do it. And again, I think with most of the tips that we share today or any day, you need to adapt them to what works for you. What works for me is I do 25-hour sprints. That's a long sprint. 25-minute sprint. And I said it's called the Pomodoro method. It's been proven that the brain can really focus for about 25 minutes at a time. Again, some people have a higher tolerance of concentration. They can concentrate longer. Some people can concentrate less long. And so mine, 25 minutes works perfectly for me. I set the clock on my iPhone on a 25-minute timer, and I don't look at anything except for the task at hand. And again, these sprints, I can only do them in the morning, about maybe 3, 4, 5 of them in the morning before I meet people, because often in the office and when people are around, it's a little harder to do sprints. You have to pick up the phone, you're meeting people. But when I have my quiet sort of time, thinking time, working on my own time, I do the 25-minute sprints. And it's pretty cool because you start to race the clock, and I take the most important item that needs to be done that day. It could even be, most mornings I write because I write for the Huffington Post and different magazines. And that time in the morning is when I'm powered up, a superhuman. So I take my 25-minute sprint and I race the clock. I don't look at any social media. I don't pick up the phone. If it rings, it's on silence. Unless it's my mom or Richard Branson, then I pick it up. But otherwise, I don't pick it up. I don't look at anything else. I don't check emails. And I just do 25 minutes at a time. I think you do something similar, don't you?
Yeah, two different sprints. But I sometimes do 45-minute sprints.
Maybe have a little bit of a more focused brain.
maybe not, depending on the setting. I'll do 45 minute sprints as well.
Forget to eat too. You sometimes do like 5 hour sprints without eating. In the afternoon, like, have you eaten anything?
That's focus. That's just getting in that state. The flow. That's the flow state. I don't need food, don't need water, don't need oxygen. forget to breathe and just work for 5 hours straight and come out like an enlightened being at suddenly at 2 p.m. but that is like what you were just saying, that is a good time for me when I'm focused. I'll even forget to eat and get pretty productive though. Another tip that I like to kind of live by, it doesn't always work in every setting, but as a general rule, you try and touch things once. So what I mean by that is if you are doing a strategy like or whatever, any task you have to do, you try to touch the thing once. So it might be, a certain task you have to do. If it's something you can do within a few minutes, you get it done immediately. Like I pretty much say as a rule, if you could do it within under 3 minutes, just do the task there and then. As soon as you come across it, like maybe an email in your inbox and there's something you've got to reply to, if it'll take you under 3 minutes, just get it done on the spot. If it's something that's going to be longer and you haven't got the time and the focus to do it right now, then schedule a time to do it. So rather than just putting it into a mixed up to-do list with all different random stuff or leaving it in your inbox, like if it was an email or something like that and it's going to take you 20 minutes to respond to or to get it done, then basically schedule a time to do it. So put it in the diary. If it's something that's not worth scheduling a time to do, maybe you got to look at it and go, well, should I even do this thing at all? Or maybe you should be ditching it and prioritizing other stuff. Or you simply delegate the task. So as soon as you come across the task, you look at it and go, okay, can I get it done right now under 3 minutes? Yes, no. If you can get it done, if not, either schedule a time if it's you that have to do it, or you delegate it to someone else, basically. Or if it's something that you're going to do later in life, there's one list I like to keep as a little backup to-do list, which is the maybe, it's kind of like a maybe someday later list, which is basically where you put, this is like $1 million. I have a million dollar ideas list in my Evernote. And I also have another list, which is a maybe later list, which is basically stuff that, you know, I might get to at some point, but it's not essential right now.
Mm, and just to tag on to that, is what you mentioned briefly, putting things in the diary. I think that's a really good tip. I use that myself when, you know, there are certain tasks that I have to do, say, you know, it might even be some new copy or strategies for Facebook advertising or coming up with content for our Clever Bunch members or working on our Genius Bunch content. So where I know I need sort of 2 hours or so of work to get something done, a bigger chunk of time, I block it out in the diary. So I just, in my diary, and I think you do the same when I look at your diary, I sometimes see those blocked out times. It just says working on Clever Bunch or every Thursday, for example. Every Thursday morning in my diary, it says content creation. So every Thursday, I'm not booked for anything in the morning, like any other morning, but I use Thursdays to create content. So just putting things in the diary. And also something else you kind of mentioned maybe a little bit before is doing the most important, sometimes maybe the one that is easy to procrastinate on first up. So taking the one that is most important for business growth or the one that solves a bigger challenge that you might want to just never do. For me, that's sometimes Facebook advertising strategies. I sometimes feel like, I'll do it another time, but it's really important that I don't do it another time. So doing those tasks first and blocking them out in the diary works really well to get those things done.
Yeah, very good. Awesome. And another tip, well, actually, on this, we're going to share some tips around emails because emails are often a giant killer when it comes to time. But just one thing I didn't touch on too when I said touch it once, what I meant by that might be look at it once as well. So just to clarify that, I just suddenly thought, that makes sense. Now, what I mean is you touch it once, you look at it once, because if you keep looking over the same tasks, like people tend to have to-do lists where there's something on there every single day and you look over and over and over it again. So as Francisca's just said, it might be the hard thing to do. And because it's on a to-do list, if it's just on a random to-do list, if it's an uncomfortable thing to do, it'll probably end up staying on the to-do list, even though it might be the thing that makes the biggest impact for you. So what you need to do then is schedule that into the diary to make sure it gets done first, because otherwise to-do lists don't really define the difference between urgent and important. Urgent might not result in business growth, whereas important might, but you tend to go for the quicker things if it's just off a to-do list. Now, so if we're touching things multiple times by looking over it, over and over and over and over the same task over and over, it's like it clutters our mind every time we look at it. You know, it's like looking in a full inbox of emails, and you scan over every email that's sitting in there every single time. It's like the moment and the focus is jumping between all these different tasks and challenges, which I believe then also kind of, you know, clutters the mind, and it also kind of kills the creativity that you want to have at the moment, because well, for myself, I know for sure I'm not as creative when I'm feeling a burden, like I've got all this stuff I've got to do and my mind's all cluttered with all these different things. You know, I feel like being present definitely helps with the creativity. There are some, I did just touch on that too before, that there are some tasks that it doesn't, you can't just touch them once. If it was a creative task, on that note, if I was doing something like copywriting, like writing text for a new marketing campaign, I would intentionally come back to that. So I would intentionally, I usually do it over four stages. So I'll look at the piece of material, I'll brain dump and write it out, and then leave it alone so I don't get stuck on it, and then come back to it if I can the next day for another 20-minute stint where I'll then edit it, and then I'll leave it alone for another day, then I'll come back to it for another 20-minute stint to put more creativity and more flavor, like brand personality and stuff into it, and then I'll leave it alone again, and then I'll come back to it on the fourth day and do one final edit. So it's kind of like intentionally touching those things four times, or design work, and sometimes you can get things to a certain state and then you leave it alone and come back to it. So just clarifying on that one there too. And emails, what about emails?
Yeah, I was going to just quickly mention the email one, and I'm totally not someone who has the email inbox always under control at all. I mean, just today I from 100 and we always have a little bit of a competition.
How many you got? Spill it.
Wait, I'm going to look right up. It's today I had 113 and now it's down to 3.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It doesn't mean that I have done a very good job, but this is what I do and it definitely helps. So the whole inbox zero system, one of my goals, and it's even in my diary, every Friday afternoon it has something in my schedule, in my Google Calendar, which says inbox zero, and it means I need to clean out my inbox. Now, it doesn't mean that I do it every Friday, but I'm meant to be doing every Friday. Today I did it, and I went from 113, I think, to 3. But what I do is, again, I use a touch it once method that Christo mentioned before. I look at quickly at the 100 emails, bang, bang, bang. If I can do it right now in less than 3 minutes, I do it, reply, it's done. If I need more than 3 minutes, I put it into a folder that I have on the left here, which is called to action. And then I have another folder, which is called waiting. And so the action ones are the ones that I need to action in the next whenever week or so. Waiting means I'm waiting for a reply, or I'm just don't have to do anything, don't have to action it. So that's my inbox zero system. It seems to work, although if I look at my action folder here, I'm just looking at it now, it's not too bad actually. It's got 46 emails in there, but there's nothing urgent in there. I can probably go through that at some stage in my day and just clean it a little bit out a bit more. But that's the other thing you probably were going to mention, that is to block out time to do emails. Is that what you were going to mention?
Yeah,
because you're pretty good at that.
With the emails, I'll just let you know how many.
Oh my God. See, you just, while I was talking, you just clean it out. So we don't even want to know.
No, I actually, I've got.
It's not a competition.
There we go. I've got 5 emails in my inbox.
Boom.
However, now the thing with emails too, because the problem with emails is, and I heard you say this one, this is actually from today as well. It's a common thing that comes up is, as you clear your emails, it can tend to generate more emails. So because clearing an inbox often will mean you're sending things out and they can often result in a reply, right? So sometimes you get to the bottom of your emails and then the inbox is full again, or it's starting to fill up again. So a couple of key tips on this one is emails, I believe, will almost for a lot of people chew up your whole day if you let them. So blocking out time to do emails can be a good approach. Like it might be as simple as you say you don't touch. For myself, this is once again going back to Francisca said, different people, you know, operate at different times more effectively. I know for myself, in the morning I'm pretty good after I've had a run or I've been surfing in the morning. I'll come back from the surf and I'll be pumped and I'll feel really good for a couple of hours to do focus work. So I know during that time, don't go straight to email inbox because it will clutter my mind. There's going to be a whole range of different tasks to do in there. They're going to be all unprioritized, a lot of it for other people and getting stuff back and so on. So I know at least an hour before I'll go to my emails, I'll work on whatever like Francisca said before, whatever the biggest challenging thing is for that day. So the thing I need to get done, or the thing that's going to make the biggest difference for the business or for our businesses, rather than go to the inbox, because the moment we open the inbox, it can be, you know, cluttered mind, and then one email just leads to the next and the next and the next. By the time you get to the bottom, a fresh load of emails has come in again. So if it works for you, not everyone in every role, and depending what you do in your business, you know, you might need to, you're in customer service, you might need to get straight on the emails, of course. However, if you can, and if you're in creative role or development roles or things, you could do maybe like what we do, maybe might be say not doing emails till 9:30 or 10 in the morning. So you have a first hour of clarity to work on what's going to be what's going to be most effective for growth of the business. If growth is important to you, what's going to be the new marketing strategy you're applying that day, and then go to the emails, and then you might leave emails alone, you know, work on them from 10 till 11, and then it might be okay, I don't look at the emails again until 3:30 in the afternoon. You know, the world's not going to end usually if you don't get back to your emails between those times. And also a common mistake we see is that people use the email inbox as like a to-do list. And so you can sort of see some problems with that now as well, that if your inbox is like your to-do list, you save things there because you know you need to get it done, and it's sort of like saving it like a to-do list. Well, then new things come in and everything else gets cluttered in around it. So it's just cluttering your mind each time you look over those things. So there we go.
Yeah, and then of course there are a few tools that I'd love to share that we use also when it comes to time management, but we're going to do that in episode number 8. So a little teaser for you. That's it. I think those were some fantastic little tips and tricks that we use. Again, I do totally believe with time management, you know, there are so many tips and so many people using different strategies. I think you just got to figure out what works for you, because not everything that Christo is using I use because it doesn't work for me. Not everything that I use is workable for Christo, because we just, you know, different humans operate differently. So use what's working for you, and make sure you come back when we have episode number 8 too. Well, listen to all the episodes, of course, but in episode 8, I'm going to share one of my favorite tools that I use to help manage my sort of to-do list, if yes, we can call it that, and mapping
absolutely
out the whole year.
And coming up, we've got amazing episodes coming up for this whole month on time management and so on, and how to delegate and outsource, free up your time in your business. So great ways to delegate and outsource to remove you entirely as your business grows, so you can systemize things and put people or systems in place. And all different tips to get your time back. Then we're going to look at branding throughout the following months, which will be later in March. And then there's going to be through April copywriting, the social media, May. Got a lot of awesome content coming up. You guys, once again, please do give us a review. We'd love to know how you're going over on iTunes. Share the podcast with those who you know would benefit from it as well. We're piling a lot into this series for 2017, and we want to basically make as big an impact and as big a difference for as many people in small business as possible. So we appreciate you helping us to accomplish that by both, you know, sharing the show with friends, and also leaving reviews is the main thing that counts when it comes to reaching more people. So thanks again, and bye for now. To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.